720 WGN. It is On the Road with Dane here in the Skyline Studio high atop Chicago, and another great day as I think, you know, fall hasn't officially started as far as the calendar. You know, I think it's the 21st of the month or someplace a little bit down the line. Still feels very summer, although the kids are in school. And there's a lot of the accoutrements of the next, you know, coming season, whether it's the Bears. How about it, Ashley? You got it sad. You're not wearing your Bears hat today. You're just embarrassed because...
I was going to wear my Bears hat today. I have a literal Bears hat in my car. And I was like, maybe it's too soon.
Well, you know what? From a Bears fan perspective, this was a painful one because it's like you set yourself up with the high expectations. If it would have been, hey, let's go out there, you know, I don't want to be all, you know, like current modern day Little League, like we're not keeping score. Let's all get out there and do our best and we all get a trophy. But if you approach it from, you know, it's the first game of the season, you're going to want to win, obviously. But you know what? The Packers have a good team, right? You know, they have a chance to win. It was a close game. There were opportunities there. The team was a little, you know, unsharp, a little dull in certain areas. And then people are always, you know, double thinking it, saying, well, they should have done more in the preseason. They didn't do this, didn't do that. But you look at last year, lost the first game to the same team and ended up having a great season without the Cody Parkey kicking situation, you know, and just, I think it was all the games they lost last year. I think the total was maybe 14 points. So I think it's going to be okay. But right. People felt really let down. You know, they right. wanted to just be like full Bears mania.
I feel like if it was any other team that we lost to, little it would sting a little less. But
yeah.
Since it was the Packers, it was like,
There was so, if on social media or Facebook or whatever, there was so much, or even the commercials, you know, like the Peyton Manning one, or they had that Brett Favre one where it was like, I smell some aged cheese,
yeah.
You know. I mean, there was a lot of bragging going in. There was a lot of, their confidence level was very high. And so it hurts a little bit more because then you got to walk it back a little
bit. Right. You're like, oh, man.
But they're in the division, and so you have an opportunity to go ahead and play them again. And,
right.
You know, and then he who laughs at the end of the season laughs best, and I think the Bears still have a good chance to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. This is their year. On the show today, we're going to talk, and we mentioned it a little bit with Scott earlier, we're going to talk a bunch of racing. You know, one of the premier, one of the crown jewel events in the world of racing, in the world of NASCAR, happens right now. It's happening down at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It is going on. It is more than just the race on Sunday, the Brickyard 400. That is now the Big Machine Vodka 400 at the Brickyard, powered by Florida Georgia Line, if you want to know all of those things. It's an entire festival, and so they've got the Florida Georgia Line Festival that's going on now, going on tonight. They're going to take the stage at 9:30. Still plenty of time to get in your car and drive down there. It is a little less than 2 hours. If you drive like our buddy Dylan, then you seem to like get there quicker than maybe you would otherwise. And, of course, you don't want to adhere to all the speed limits and everything, but you can get down there in maybe 2.5 hours. Of course, you've got to kind of factor in the time change as well, but get down there and enjoy that. Not only all the stuff that they've got going on with the festival and the music and everything, but of course the race tomorrow. And they're going to be doing qualifying at about 10:30 through 11:30, and then running the race at 2 o'clock. So you get to see all the qualifying happen. So from a fan's perspective, it's a bunch of stuff to watch the entire kind of day, and it's all right there. I think tickets start at $35, and kids are free. I joke with Doug Bowles every time I talk to him. He said, kids are free. He said, bring as many kids as you want. I said, you could even stop and adopt a few, right? You can pull some out of maybe some foster care, you know, pull them, get them down there.
Just because they're free.
They're free. He's just like, hey, get in the car, you're free. So we're going to be able to talk with Doug Bowles a little bit later on in the program, actually coming up right after this first break, president of Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And then Scott Borchetta, this was a really cool opportunity, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. I think we'll probably get to him a little after 3 o'clock. He is the founder of Big Machine Label Group, so one of the top record companies, do a lot of stuff with the country music. He's the one that discovered Taylor Swift and Florida Georgia Line, and there's a bunch of other acts that work with him. And also, he's a racing guy, too. He was a part of a team owner when Dan Weldon won the Indy 500, and they are the naming sponsor on the vodka side. So he's got a vodka company, too. This guy's living the dream. He's doing so many fun things that he's, you know, all about, whether it is music, whether it is racing. He's walking the walk as well, actually, racing and as a race car driver and a musician. And getting to do so many cool things and giving back as well. So we're going to talk with Scott, I think, a little bit after 3 o'clock. That will be cool. And then we've got Jeff Hammond, Hollywood Hammond, one of those, a legendary crew chief. He was the crew chief for all those years with Darrell Waltrip, and then one of those entertaining personalities for Fox, Hollywood Henderson. Hollywood Hammond, Hollywood Henderson was, of course, the Cowboys player, who was also very entertaining. So Jeff Hammond's going to join us a little bit later on in the program. We got Christopher Bell, top guy over there at Xfinity, the number 20 for Joe Gibbs. And Zeb Wise, this guy, this is a kid, right? So in dirt track racing, and they've got the new dirt track there. This was the second year that they had it at Indianapolis for USAC midgets, and Zeb Wise won it. Won the big race. He's only 16 when he won one of the preliminary races last year. He was only 15, didn't even have a driver's license, and here he is winning it here. And he's been racing since I think he was 4 or 5 years old. You're not a parent yet, but of at least a human, where you have many animal.
I'm an animal parent. Dog mom.
But would you, as much as I like racing, would you let, it would be tough to like let your kid, you know, that's 4 years old, like race pretty much professionally.
I feel like some 4 year olds have trouble walking. Like
they say that kids are very flexible.
Yeah.
And that their bones are maybe softer.
Right.
They don't break as easily. So maybe
clumsier.
They're
clumsier. I don't know if I would trust my child on the back of a
No, because if they
motor.
Got really hurt, then right. you'd be like, well, maybe that's a bad idea.
Yeah, right?
I don't know.
But hey, it's working out for him, so.
Yeah, well, if you love racing, you want to do it, and you want to do it as early as possible. He doesn't know anything else. I think some of his earliest memories were behind the wheel. So we'll talk with Zeb as well. Plus, I think we're going to get a call in from the NBC Sports people live from Indy at some point before the end of the program. So keep it here. When we come back, Doug Bowles, president of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, talking Brickyard 400. It's On the Road with Dane, 720 WGN.
This is how we roll.
Hi, this is Doug Bowles, president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
...720 WGN, on the road with Dane, high atop Chicago, typically in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Here we are high atop the best vantage point here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the eve of the Big Machine Vodka 400 at the Brickyard, powered by Florida Georgia Line, with the man behind so much of the action-packed weekend here at Indy, Jay Douglas Bowles. Doug, welcome to WGN.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You got the name down, which is pretty good. A lot of people shorten it and forget, and we're pretty excited about the partnership with Big Machine, and the FGL Fest is pretty crazy as well.
I wonder if there is an extra, you know, you got to be great on the track. You got to be good with sponsors. It's always good to have a great smile, good personality as a driver. Do they have classes for, you know, to help people kind of work their way through all those sponsor mentions? They're so good.
Yeah, you know, a lot of them do, right? And you think about it. Especially brands like Chevrolet and other folks. So, you know, the engine manufacturers are all really good about training their drivers to say the right thing. But it's when you have a long name like that one, it's kind of hard for us to get in sometimes. I appreciate you covering it all off.
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. Like, I'd like to thank the people at this and this and this. Well, you talk about the partnership, and it's part of the things that you've built into so much of the racing experience here, kind of being more things to more people at India. And Big Machine, Scott Borchetta is going to be on the show with us a little bit later. And talk about it. It's been a unique partnership that isn't just 1 year. It's been multi-years where you've built in a lot of the very cool music entertainment into the racing entertainment. This has been a great relationship.
It's been a really good relationship, and it's one that is an authentic one, because Scott Borchetta, who owns Big Machine, has a love for motorsport and a love for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He's a big Indy 500 and a big NASCAR fan, so it fits for both of our events here. And our relationship with Scott and the team actually started out several years ago with just some small music. I got him involved, and then a couple of years ago, the Big Machine Vodka piece became the title sponsor of the Brickyard, and Scott's a fantastic partner, and it's a lot of fun when it's organic like that, and you have a leader of that company who believes that motorsports is a great way to promote his brand as well.
Loving the Speedway, and also kind of having that vision to see what it can be and some of the different roles it can play as far as that kind of entertainment experience here, because, you know, and for the listeners that haven't been here, Indianapolis is unique and unlike, you know, any other sports venue and certainly any other track, right? But it is perfect for all of these different things, including music.
Yeah, it's so big, right? I mean, we've got 250 acres here. We're a mile long by a half a mile wide, you know, 235,000 permanent seats. So there's the racing component of it, but like there's 225 acres that are just literally in the inside of the bleachers. So you've got plenty of room to put on a concert, or in the Indy 500, as you know, we do two concerts. We got the concert for concert stage inside turn four, and then we got our snake pit stage inside turn three. So for this event, it's just one big stage, and for the FGL Fest, we're going to have over 25,000 people, I think, hanging out, listening to FGL and a lot of others play this evening.
That's coming up later on tonight. Oh, plenty of time from the Chicagoland area to get in the car, get out there, come out here, be part of the concert. When it talks about the space that you have and being able to utilize it, it's one thing to do non-racing events and music and things like that, but to give even more racing using it, you know, you've got the road course situation here, but also on the dirt track. track, you know, and this just happened this week, another successful, I think ultra successful drive to save lives, BC39, powered by NAS Energy. But this was a really cool event, and to be able to build that fan base in, kind of bring them all together under one tent is awesome.
Yeah, so on Wednesday and Thursday night this past week, we actually had the dirt track here. We built it last year. It's the second year we've done it. It's a quarter-mile dirt track, much like what Chicagoland Speedway has, you know, really close there, is connecting to that grassroots component of the sport. And this one, Brian Clausen, historic race car driver who, unfortunately, we lost in 2016. And the BC stands for Brian Clausen. And the Driven to Save is about organ donations. And that's something that Brian did. His family didn't even know until after his accident. And they got him to the hospital and knew he wasn't going to make it. And they realized he was an organ donor. And his family's just really carried on that Brian Clausen legacy. So that's why the Driven to Save Lives component of the race. And so I keep reminding the drivers and the fans, it's a great event here. But there's so much more than racing. It's really about how do you make an impact even beyond the days that we're not here on this earth. And Brian's certainly done that. So to connect that good message with the sport, it was a fantastic thing. A lot of the NASCAR drivers come in early and run that and get ready, and they spend 5 days here racing at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
You talk about your history, your passion for racing, and I think in a lot of communities all over the place, we reach 38 states in Canada. A lot of those towns are small, and dirt track racing is really the lifeblood on the racing side. It isn't always on a huge stage like it is here at IMS, and you look at the diversity of the drivers that are there too. You got people that are older drivers, and you've got people that don't even have driver's license. And Zeb is, he had a chance to, I mean, he's, what is he, 16?
Yeah, so Zeb Wise, who won the BC 39 on Thursday night, is 16. Last year, he won the night before event, so our prelim event, and he didn't even have a driver's license last year. So yeah, he ended up being 16. But you're right, they're racing everybody across all different age spectrums. They're all very, very talented race car drivers. And the cool thing about having that track here, and you touched on it, how many communities across the country have their dirt track? And that's what you do on Saturday night. You go to the dirt track, you watch your neighbor run at your local dirt track. And we wanted to give people a reason to say, hey, my neighbor ran at the local dirt track, but this week my neighbor is going to run at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It may not be the Indy 500 or the Big Machine Vodka 400, but it is at the Speedway. And it's been pretty neat to see that opportunity. And just the energy level that the drivers, we had 90 of them entered this past week. It's just really neat to see how excited they are to be here.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you know the fans, they're going to love to have it, to be able to see, you know, one of the ways that they enjoy watching racing here, like in this venue. But is that feedback been coming from the drivers, where just to have it happen there in the backdrop of Indy's cool?
You know, I was when the event was over on Thursday night, just walking around. I left here about 2 a.m, but I spent a lot of time helping guys load up and talking to drivers. And it's funny to hear from them saying, oh, we just love the racetrack. And then to look up and see the pagoda lit up in the background and realize we're at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It does make it a little bit special for them. And I think this is something that we're going to be able to build on and make one of those, like a Chili Bowl, which is the big midget race that kicks the year off in racing for short track. We want this to be sort of the summer Chili Bowl type event where everybody that's anybody in midget racing has to be here.
I think anything that happens here has the ability to elevate that event to higher levels. When NASCAR came here, you know, with the Brickyard 400, it was one of those things that just was elevated just because it was here. And for drivers, you know, regardless of where they are in their career, if they win this race, it goes on their resume. Talk about NASCAR weekend. So much time for people to get in their car, get down here. Tickets are available. $35, I think they start at, the whole day tomorrow.
Yeah, and 15 and under are free. So you got kids 15 and under, pile them in the car, and as many as you can bring, we'll let you bring them in for free. We really want kids to come. The neat thing about this event this year is tomorrow they will be racing for the last chance to get in the NASCAR playoffs. So this is a big deal for the drivers. Not only is it winning at one of the most historic racetracks in the country and what that means, but this is their last ability. If they're not in the playoffs already, they have to do it here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So the challenge, the pressure, watching drivers take different strategy plays, you know, two tires versus four, different fuel strategies, that's the kind of thing that makes this race exciting. And if you can win this race and you haven't won one yet, you can make sure you're in the playoffs. And if you're not, you're fighting for those positions, and every position can mean the difference between making the playoffs or not. So it's a pretty big race, not just because it's a speedway, but because of what it means for the last 10 races of the season.
There's a lot on the line, a lot of pressure, right, to have a successful season, but also a little bit of immortality as well happening here, and fans get to enjoy and join in all of that. And so where can they go to get tickets, and then what other things are happening? Because it's the kind of thing, the gates open at 8, and there is so much to happen here in the infield, you know, as far as some of the fan activations and
some of the cool things to see and do. I think qualifying starts at like a little bit after 10, right? And then the race at 2.
Yeah, IMS.com is the best place to get tickets and watch our social channels just to see what's going on. But yeah, on Sunday, the cool thing about qualifying and racing this year is it's going to be on the same day. Historically, we would have been qualifying today and just racing tomorrow, but now we're doing everything on Sunday. So you come in and you see the Cup guys qualify, and then they got to get cars ready and go out and race. And then we've got the active midway for things for folks to do. Yeah. We've got an unbelievable museum here inside the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that tells a lot of history of our sport, of motorsport, of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's a great, fantastic facility. Check out some old cars while you're here. And just hanging out at the Speedway is fun.
Yeah, an opportunity to see the race, have it be significant, see a little bit, maybe even a lot of history, and bring the family, and the kids are free too. So, Doug, we're going to let you get back at it, and excited to have you jumping on the show today.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. We're going to have a fun couple days, and can't wait to get this Big Machine 400 underway.
Hey, this is Cliff Boyer driving the number 14 Ford, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN Radio.
All right! 720, WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Skyline Studio High atop Chicago. And coming up after the news, we're going to have an opportunity to talk with Jeff Hollywood Hammond. He was one of the all-time great crew chiefs there with Darrell Waltrip. And one of the great personalities in racing. You remember all the stuff that he's done over the time with Fox, and he's going to be helping out with PRN and with the Indy Media Group and calling the race today. The Xfinity race is going to be calling the Cup race tomorrow for radio as well. So some exciting stuff. And he's been in great shape. He's been not that he was ever in bad shape. You know, this isn't like, you know, you meet those people that you're like, he used to be 300 pounds and now like, wow. It wasn't like, it's not like that. So he's always been in like okay shape, but he's in like, I think he's in like really good shape, you know, where, he shook my hand and, I got a chance, and it was so, you really squeezed it.
You broke your hand. You were in a cast to work today.
He didn't break it, but he made sure that I knew he could break it. I think that's one of the great things. Also, too, is what I'm looking forward to is when we get done with the show, we're going to have an opportunity. The weekends have been kind of jam-packed and full. This will be an opportunity to go ahead and kind of grill some stuff, do a little bit of barbecue. I think we're going to try to make our own. We got an air fryer. You know, for those people out there in the new current cutting edge gadget scene, air fryer's been around a while. You know, the people have had it, but it's really cool, like what it can do. You know, as far as, you know, you bring home fries from McDonald's, everybody talks about how great the fries are. People love the fries from McDonald's, but you know, once they're cold, they're pretty much useless. You know, there's nothing you can do. You can microwave them. I've tried to stick them in the, or fries from anywhere really, but the air fryer, you put them in there and magically back to life. It's really great.
It is. It's an alarmingly fast device.
In fact, that's what they say in the commercials. It's alarmingly fast. It's like, wait a minute, what happened? I'm alarmed. You know, and they're like, wow, welcome to the air fryer.
I cooked a whole a single serve pizza in an air fryer.
You can do that. You can cook.
It was good. I was like, how is this possible? It took like 8 minutes.
You're like, I'm alarmed.
Yeah, I was alarmed. It's alarmingly fast and alarmingly good. Like, I don't, there's magic elves in there or something doing their work.
You wonder who thought that up, because it's got all the things. If for the people out there, the handful, how long have you had one? You probably had one for the last 3 years, right, Ashley?
I actually had it at work, not this work. A different job that I used
like
to do.
When you were in high school.
Yeah, when I was in high school.
Yeah, so, right, a long time ago. So not that long. Obviously, you're relatively young, but I'm just saying, I just got one. You
right.
Know, we just got one. So now here we are, you know, all about it. And so we're going to make some potatoes, some fries or something like that. Make our own fries. Maybe make a steak or two. Looking forward to that.
In the air fryer? A steak in
not
the air fryer?
Not in the air. No, no.
Oh, okay. I was going to say sorry, that is a new
now
one.
I'm alarmed, right? No, we'll probably make that on like the Kamado, your cast iron skillet, do like a sear, maybe afterwards do a reverse sear. I don't know, you know.
I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure it out. So it's time for news. When we come back from the news, of course, it's going to be Jeff Hammond. He is going to be joining us, and stay tuned for that. Right now, though, it is 2:30 and news time. Here's Bob Kessler.
Hollywood Hotel. Good evening. Just a moment, I'll connect you.
Hi, this is Jeff Hammond from Fox and Fox Sports One, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN.
Live here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the road with Dane. And here we are, kind of the calm before the storm, getting ready for the Big Machine Vodka 400 at the Brickyard. Powered by Florida Georgia Line, I think, as far as all those kind of things, and run into, you know, one of the great personalities in racing, one of the greatest crew chiefs of all time, and, of course, a personality in the world of racing and media. Jeff Hollywood Hammond is here. So, Jeff, welcome to WGN.
Hey, it's always good to be here with you guys. And I tell you what's more exciting. We're doing it face-to-face for a change.
Yeah, we've had John by phone a number of times, and it's always great. But when you can, and that's one of the things I think that's great about NASCAR, too. It isn't like a football game where you got two teams playing here and two teams playing there. The entire world of NASCAR and racing converges. All the personalities, whether it's, you know, on the track, off the track, media, all that kind of stuff, here at one time.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you got to realize that Indianapolis Motor Speedway and this track may be the mecca of motorsports as a whole. And so when you have an event here, and this is what I'm talking about, it's not just a race, it's an event. So this is the NASCAR event part of the season. So we're all excited about being here, being a part of this historical, I mean, this mega racetrack. I mean, this thing is just, in its own right, it's a wonder of the world. And everybody wants to be here, be a part of it. I've been coming here since the very inception, the very first test. And every time I get a chance to come back and be a part, especially of this weekend's event, when I say that, we've got Saturday and Sunday, Xfinity on Saturday, Cup race on Sunday, to be able to call it for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Network is a huge, huge opportunity for me to kind of like be a part of this whole great thing and continue to be able to support NASCAR. So it's an exciting weekend for me.
You talk about racing as a whole. Of course, the Indy 500, one of the iconic sporting events, regardless of whatever type, in the entire world, and everybody gets here. And of course, the fan base is huge. You know, when this place is filled up, it's over 300,000 people. And of course, 103 runnings of the Indianapolis 500 Indy Racing Open Wheel. But for NASCAR, it's a great history. It's a relatively long history, much shorter. But talk a little bit about, from the driver's perspective, and you said being here since the beginning is like, it means a lot just to win here, right? You win, you put this on your resume.
Well, it has become one of the four crown jewels of NASCAR. I mean, you put it right in there with Daytona and Charlotte and Coca-Cola 600, the Labor Day event down in Darlington, which we just left, and you come here to Indianapolis. And, you know, I'm not trying to discredit Talladega by any stretch of the imagination, but this is one of those opportunities to truly capture something that makes you, I mean, your name gets connected with Unser and Foyt. Let's put it that way. I mean, that's when you come to Indianapolis, you win here, everybody thinks about those big names. And to be a NASCAR person, and like I say, this is the 26th running or 26th, I think 26th time we've been up here. It's a very short history, but it's been a very exciting one. And I think at the same time, when you look at the names that are being represented by NASCAR, from Jeff Gordon to Jimmy Johnson to Tony Stewart, I think in their own right, they resonate through down up and down these straightaways here at Indianapolis now. I think that they came in here wanting to do one thing and one thing only, and to be able to say that, look, I race at the Brickyard, and more importantly, I won at the Brickyard. So that part page on your resume stands alone, just like when you win the Daytona 500. So it's such a great... It's just a great, great, great facility, and it's got so much history here. And as a crew chief, the first time I ever walked into Gasoline Alley, I had cold chills. And to this day, when I go in there, it's a place of reverence, and it's a place where the greats that have ever turned a wrench, you know, Bignotti and all those, you go down through here, you think about them, and you realize that, you know, motorsports is not just in the South. It's not just in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's here up north, and it resonates, you know, through these great garages and up and down these straightaways here in Indy. And to be a part of it, as I say, it's something we all look forward to. This, and I'll be honest with you, from a crew chief standpoint, this racetrack is a pain in the ass. Yeah. I mean, because it is. Our cars are challenged to the max, but that's the challenge that we accepted when we came here, and we respect that. And so it's not fair to blame the track. that, you know, our cars don't do a better job. They don't fit as naturally as an Indy car. But we're working on it. I think NASCAR's made some big gains here in recent years. I'm looking forward to this year to see how this new combination of aero and engine horsepower works here at Indianapolis. And if it pays off like it did a few years ago with the Xfinity Series, we could be in for a whale of a race. And there's so much on the line this weekend when you look at it. It's not just the final race in the regular season and who wind up winning it. We got a race inside the race that includes a seven-time champion, whether he makes it into the playoffs. So there's so many things going on here just in the Cup Series, not to mention the Xfinity Series themselves. We're going to have a great weekend, and it's going to be another page in the NASCAR side of the history of Indy.
So much history and tradition in NASCAR, but the folks at NASCAR are always trying to tweak, adjust, improve, try to enhance, right, maybe the entertainment value. And sometimes the teams and the drivers and everybody, it doesn't always have maybe them in front of mind as far as how it affects them. You just have to deal with it, right, as the sport moves forward. So here you've got qualifying happening just a few short hours before, you know, it's like 10 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and then the race starts at 2. Like, as a crew chief, as a champion crew chief, as someone who would have to deal with that, whatever you can get out of the practice sessions and qualifying and build that into what you need for the race, how hard is that?
It's a big challenge, but you got to understand something. In the Xfinity side, and a lot of time in the Gander Outdoor Truck Series side of it, that's something they do every time they go to a racetrack. I mean, a lot of times they show up that race day, and you unload, you qualify, and you race. I mean, that's what you do at every local short track around the country. You unload, you qualify, you race. So, hey, big boys, put your big boy pants on. Show them you can do it. So you got to be careful. It's going to be a challenge, but we have been so accustomed here as of late of qualifying on Saturday and having what they call an impound race. So we go out there, we practice. You qualify. You can't touch the car. You know, you make a little tape adjustment, maybe made a little track bar adjustment, NASCAR approved, but then you go race it. That's the same thing we're going to do here Sunday. The only thing about Sunday I think that everybody needs to kind of like be a little more mindful of, tell your driver, I want a good lap, but I don't want you hanging in the wall over off of turn two trying to get it, you know, the extra tenth out of it, because we need to race this race car and we don't have time to get the backup off. That's the only challenge I really see, is that guys got to be a little more careful about that, because if you did crash on a Saturday, you do have time to unload your other one and get ready to go. But I think this is really a treat for the fans. You get here early that morning, go buy you a couple t-shirts, some hats, get up in the grandstand at 10:30. You know, we're going to be out there making laps. You're going to get a chance to see the superstars and get some, watch these guys, you know, lay it on the line before they get ready to drop the green flag at 1 o'clock that day. So it's going to be a bam-bam type of a day. I think that the fans may enjoy this, and the competitors, hey, look, that's what they're paying the big bucks for. Suck it up and get it done.
From the entertainment side, right, the fans are going to get it. Of course, fans know, you let the listeners know we're talking with Jeff Hammond, a legendary crew chief, media personality, Fox Sports analyst, and all of those things that you have done and people have loved over the years. So here at Indy for you, Jeff Hammond, so what are you going to do? What are we going to be seeing out of Jeff Hammond this weekend?
I'm going to be on the Indianapolis Motorsports Radio Network. I'll be calling the Xfinity race on Saturday afternoon as well as Sunday afternoon. Real excited about working with Doug Rice and Pat Patterson and all the great staff that a lot of you folks hear when the 500 is going on, if you listen to the radio. It's a fun opportunity for me, to be able to say that I have worked for Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I've been sharing once again my knowledge and experiences I do have and some of the BS that goes along with me out on the airways come Saturday and Sunday. But more importantly, just to be here. If I wasn't even working, this being here is always it's a special time in the season, and it's one of those places that I love coming back to.
We'll have the links for the social media up at WGNradio.com, and can't thank you enough for taking time out. Obviously, all that success on the track, but also being one of those great, entertaining voices in the world of racing. Jeff, thanks so much for jumping on the show.
Glad to get a chance to not only talk to you, but even better to get a chance to see you, man. To see you. Give a shake your hand and everything. So now we've now got even a better connection, I think, than what we've had in the past. So I look forward to our next opportunity when we get a chance to, you know, talk about what we learned here at Indy and how things, you know, kind of played out and how it's going so far in the playoffs.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Always great to talk to Jeff Hammond. Coming up after the break, we're going to have two drivers. One is going to be Christopher Bell. He's the driver of the number 20, Joe Gibbs. Toyota for Xfinity is going to probably, I'm predicting right now, winning a championship this year. So stay tuned for that. And then after that, 16 years old, already well into like probably the second half of his career, been racing since he was a toddler. Zeb Wise is the winner of the dirt track race that they had, and the driver of the 39 BC in the midget cars for USAC. So stay tuned for that. Quick break. We'll come back. It's On the Road with Dane, 720 WGN.
I'm Christopher Bell, driver of the number 20 Toyota Supra for Joe Gibbs Racing, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
WGN, on the road with Dane, live here. Well, typically, we are high atop Chicago, the Allstate Skyline Studio. Here, we are ground zero for racing and NASCAR racing here at one of the greatest and iconic venues in all of sports, specifically racing, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Here with a guy that's been a 2017 Truck Series champ, he's been Xfinity Rookie of the Year, USAC champ, the driver of the number 20 Xfinity Series Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing, the one and only Christopher Bell. Christopher, welcome to WGN.
Yeah, thank you for having me on here.
Doug Bowles here at Indianapolis is always trying to use this facility to kind of be more things to more people, bring in all kinds of racing. Indianapolis 500 is, you know, one of the biggest events in all of racing. You know, of course, NASCAR weekend here with the Brickyard, but to bring in the dirt racing, something that you, of course, you know, you've won championships in that, multiple Chili Bowls. Talk a little bit about how they built that in, kind of integrated in to the track here.
Yeah, it's really special that Doug is very in tune with all the dirt track racing and the short track racing community here in Indiana. And last year they built this dirt track, but they classified it as a temporary dirt track. And they said, yeah, this is kind of a one-time thing. We don't know if it's going to happen again. And then come find out, we're on year two. And in the driver's meeting in year two, he said, guess what? It's permanent. We're here to stay. It's going to be an annual event. So that was really cool.
Yeah, well, we talked with him. He's been a big fan. Of course, in a lot of parts of America, dirt track racing is exactly what it is that people get to experience on a regular basis and that people really enjoy. Being from Norman, Oklahoma, I got to say that, you know, both my great uncle and my grandfather went to University of Oklahoma, so go Sooners. But experiencing dirt track racing, talk about how it has been received here. These have been sellout events. This has been, I mean, a huge success. Are you surprised, or is this like, yeah, I knew it all along?
Well, I think if anybody would have asked if dirt track inside Indianapolis Motor Speedway is going to work, everyone would have probably assumed it would. But both years have been an outstanding crowd, and it's really cool. You don't typically get to race in front of that many people, so to be able to see all the fans and how enthusiastic and just the atmosphere that floats around this place is pretty cool.
You talk about the fans being enthusiastic. Like I said, sold out. People love it. People come for it. But the drivers, too, right? Are you surprised that there's been a bunch of Cup drivers getting in on it? Obviously, you're in on it. And it's the kind of racing you got kids 16 years old, right? And then you got drivers, I don't want to say past their prime, but in the later stages of their career, the drivers love to do it, too.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by it just because it's such a cool event and it's a unique event. You don't, a lot of these dirt track racers will never get the opportunity to race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, so it really is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, on the Xfinity Series, you're, you know, number two in the standings right now, number one as far as NASCAR goes in the playoff prediction. Is there any kind of switch-up? I mean, you've been successful in every kind and style of racing. Do dirt track one day, and then a couple days later, race on the Speedway here?
It's pretty cool, man. I'm living the dream, that's for sure. And if you had asked me that a couple years ago, if I ever thought that I would be able to race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway on the big track here, I would have told you you're crazy. But it's really cool to be able to go from the dirt track to the pavement track, and it makes it a fun little week to come out here.
I mean, is there any kind of, like, where you've got to kind of recalibrate, or is it easy, right? You're just used to driving everything?
Well, the cars are so different, and you sit in them so differently, so whenever you get in a stock car, you kind of, You the mindset's already there that, all right, I got to lift for the corner now. You know, I can't bend it at the flag stand. So, yeah, just the mindset's totally different.
Talking with Vince Welch, you know, our buddy, of course, he's an Indiana native as well, and the voice of the Truck Series. You know, you've won championships and everything, and now you're poised for this. Do you think this is the year that you kind of win the Xfinity title as well and then head on maybe next into the Cup Series?
I'm not sure. The way the NASCAR format is, it's looking, we've got a shot at it anyway, but ultimately it all boils down to Homesteads. So if we get to Homestead and we have the fastest race car, then I think we've got a great shot at it. Last year, Homestead was one of our worst races of the year, so we have that one circled to improve upon, and hopefully we'll have a shot at it.
We got a lot of listeners that appreciate, and Road America is one of those great tracks you've had a lot of fun up there and been able to race there recently. When it comes to all the different venues and Xfinity and trucks, sometimes you're not having kind of that combined kind of Cup Series weekend. You're off at different tracks. What are, if you had to name like one or two favorite ones and for whatever reason?
Well, I mean, Road America has obviously been really good to me this year. And on top of that, the fans are really good there. They have a really good turnout. Iowa is a really fun racetrack to go to. So I'd say those are probably two of my favorites.
For those people who want to catch up with you, obviously excited to watch you here for the race there at Indianapolis. But for social media-wise, people want to keep up with all your adventures, where can they go?
Yeah, I'm on all three forms of social media, so you can just find me at Christopher Bell.
It's easy. All right, thanks, Christopher. Good luck, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Zeb Wise, driver of the Driven to Save Lives 39BC, on the road with Dane on WGN.
BFG's coming across the creek, C7 New Orleans, headlights shining through the tree.
720 WGN, live here in the Allstate Skyline studio. Nope, wait, we're here high atop Indianapolis Motor Speedway in the media center with a guy who's drawing a lot of well-deserved media attention. He's the driver of the Clausen Marshall Racing BC midget car for USAC, the one and only Zeb Wise. Zeb, welcome to WGN.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, you're going to be doing more of these interviews, right? You keep winning like this. And now you look at the connection. You know, we talked with Christopher Bell. We talked with Doug Bowles. We talked with people who've been a part of, brought a bunch of different styles of racing to Indianapolis to try to combine that kind of the love of the race fan and the passion for racing in general. And bringing the dirt track here, you're all about it. It's been all about you. Talk a little bit about being here at Indy.
Yeah, it's very special, especially being a Hoosier boy. I'm right here in the state of Indiana. You know, it's very special to be here. I've had the privilege to race quarter midgets here. I've had the privilege to take my midget down the front straightaway. It's a pretty cool experience to not only race here, just to win here. It's awesome.
You think about the BC 39 Driven to Save Lives, powered by NAS, and kind of the connections that are there. Obviously, the namesake, right, Brian Clausen, it's one of those things, the connections, like the Grand Marshals, their connections, like they have his lungs or his heart, your connection, you actually race for the team. Does it feel like, and you've been successful in a bunch of different places around here, but does it feel like there's maybe a little something, maybe a lot, something like extra here because of everything that's going on with Brian?
A lot of people don't know this, but the first time Tim and Brian actually saw me and noticed me was here at IMS. I was like 11 or 12 years old racing a quarter midget here.
So you'd only been like 8 years into your career at that point?
Yeah, I started at 5, so yeah, I was a few years into it. And we were racing here at they call it the Little Brickyard. It's a quarter midget race. Just over here in the parking lot, and you know, they said if we ever need anything, stay in contact with them, and here we are just a few years later in Victory Lane and IMS.
One of the, I think, most iconic sports venues of any kind, certainly in racing here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and you look at some of the people that you got to race with and against, it's one thing. You've seen them have success translating, you know, dirt track success to where they're racing, like let's say in the Cup Series now. Is that something, you know, beating those guys and kind of being there in this venue, does that kind of lend to you thinking, hey, you know what, maybe sooner rather than later we could be up doing that if we want to?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've had the privilege to race with Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell. So, you know, those are the two big names. Obviously, I have teammates with Ricky Stenhouse Jr. So I've raced with a lot of them. And, you know, I've had the privilege to beat and race against them. So, you know, they were both in the race last night. Me and Kyle actually made some heavy contact. But, yeah. You know, that was just a racing deal. And, you know, I'm pretty happy to be able to race against them and compete with them.
Pretty big purse outside of all of the attention, the public relations value and all those kind of things. But $15,000, right? That's pretty great. Now, small teams, you know, lots of expenses. Like how much of that do you, I mean, are you going shopping? There's a mall not too far from here.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll get half of that. The other half will go to the team. So, you know, I take home a pretty good payday for that. You know, that's something that we don't usually get as a, you know, on the USAC midget tour. Most of the USAC races only pay $3,000. So, you know, for us to be able to race for 15 and not only 15 grand to the winner, I think it was like $7,500 for second and $3,000 for third. So it pays throughout really well. And I think that means a lot to the sport.
Well, you look at, so your parents, right? And towards Chicago, Angola, up towards the kind of towards Chicago, at least on the map there. And you got your parents and obviously, do they say to you, you know, are they like, Zeb, you know, looking forward, you may decide you want to become a dentist or something. You're going to need those dollars for maybe education, for college, put it in the college fund, or you're going to do like Eric Jones, you know, where he's actually graduating from things like at the track, right, where he puts on the cap and gown. Are there any thought, you know, where the parents are saying, hey, put this away for a rainy day?
I don't.
You haven't been taking their calls? It's like new phone, who dis?
Yeah, no. They go everywhere with me. They've been a part of my career since the very beginning. Yeah. Those two, they've been with me. I think my mom has only missed like two races in my whole career, and my dad's been literally at 95% of the races. They're always there. They're always right there with me. This all wouldn't be possible without those two, and I can't thank them enough.
On the career side, just being here as someone from Indiana, it's got to be really exciting. You look at some of, you know, kind of your idols in the sport. You got like a Tony Stewart, obviously, Indiana, and you got a lot of dirt track experience and all that kind of stuff. When you have opportunities to like to be with these guys, do you ask them, is there any career stuff? You obviously can teach them a thing or two on the track, but off the track as far as career-wise, do you ever have those conversations?
Yeah, so, you know, one guy that hangs out in our pit a lot, you know, just because he's connected with our sprint car team that Tyler Courtney runs is Ryan Newman.
Nice.
Yeah, so Ryan was in our pits, you know, all weekend, and, you know, to get to sit down and talk with him, you know, about his career and everything, it's pretty cool to be able to do that.
So what's next? So what do you do now through the course of the rest of the weekend? You as a fan of racing from Indiana here, I think probably just being here to be able to see and experience a race, you know, like this, the Brickyard, would be exciting. But now, like in your capacity here, what do you got planned for the rest of the weekend?
Well, believe it or not, we were actually, you know, going to race tonight. But since I won last night, we made a decision to, you know, hang out here and go to the Brickyard 400 and kind of meet with some of the people here. So I'm pretty excited to do that. I'll be watching the dirt races online and be watching the Brickyard 400 from the suite. So I'm pretty excited to be here.
Wow. Last year when he won it, he didn't even have a driver's license. Now he can legally drive outside of into victory lane on the dirt track. Zeb Wise, thanks so much for what you're doing. Excited for everything that's going on. The future is so bright. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's really cool to be able to do this.
720 WGN On the Road with Dane. Coming up right after the news, we're going to have Scott Borchetta. He is the founder, CEO, visionary force behind Big Machine Label Group, Big Machine Vodka, talking about racing, talking a little bit about some of the spirit world, and of course, big events happening with Florida Georgia Line down there at the Brickyard 400. So stay tuned for that right now. Straight up, 3 o'clock in news time, Chicago stories told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by American Weathermakers. Here's Bob Kessler.
Hey, this is Scott Borchetta with Big Machine, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
I got cold beer in my cup, a pretty girl hopping out of my truck. Got the cables coming out of the dash, JBL's 12-stack. We got all the makings of a Saturday night.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, usually high atop Chicago in the Allstate Skyline studio. Here we are high atop Indianapolis Motor Speedway, overlooking one of the most iconic venues in all of sports, specifically racing, and honored to have a guy behind the namesake of NASCAR Weekend here. You know him from all of the things that he has done with Big Machine Label Group, with American Idol, with everything in the music world, and of course racing here too with the Indy 500, and it's the one and only Scott Borchetta. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. It's so great to talk to you today.
Well, it's great to have you here. And I think what's unique in talking with a lot of the people from the Speedway, and for those people that are fans of the sport in Indy, they know that this has been a long-time relationship. This is the kind of thing that happens, that your connection with Indianapolis, with racing, goes far beyond, you know, a marketing situation or an advertising activation. Your connection runs really deep.
It really does. You know, I've always been a race fan. And we first started, you know, our true sponsorship opportunities in 2011. When it was in between Crown Royal. And so we had a Big Machine Brantley Gilbert activation. And then every year since, we've had something to do with the 400 and the 500, not just with our sponsorship of the race, but also with our drivers. You know, this year, right now in real time, we have the number one leading points champ, hopefully to be Joseph Newgarden's a Big Machine Vodka driver, and also Kyle Busch is a Big Machine Vodka driver. So right now we have, you know, our little distillery has both the major series champs, you know, as far as leading in the points championship.
Well, from a identifying talent standpoint, do you feel like it? On the music side, you're doing that too, but because these are some of the, you know, some of the biggest names in their respective, you know, disciplines on the racing side of the series. And Kyle is, you know, one of, I would say, you know, a potential undoubtedly Hall of Famer, one of the greatest drivers maybe of all time. He's going to be right up there in the team photo. Is that what you're looking for? Is you want to have people that are going to be great ambassadors for the brands, but also you got to be, like, I don't know, really great.
Yeah, you know what? I look at everything as talent, whether it's a race driver, whether it's an artist, whether it's an executive. You know, are these the best people to do the jobs? And so a lot of it is gut and what feels right with our culture and with our messaging. And, you know, both Joseph and Kyle, while very different, they're both, you know, vicious race car drivers. And they're so dedicated to the sport and to winning. And that's the kind of label we are, whether we're doing our artists or with the vodka, et cetera. We always strive to be the best.
When it comes to walking the walk, you've done that. So this isn't necessarily just trying to have a successful company, trying to get out there, you know, sell records, sell downloads, whatever it is. Like, these are really things that are you, right? The things that you're involved with. What we think is so cool, and Doug Bowles is one of those guys that always looks to Indianapolis to try to make it more things to more people. You have this amazing venue. Let's use it as a music venue. Let's use it for this and be more things for the fans on the experience side. So talk about that. As you guys have increased it, it seems like every year there's more and more stuff going on with the music.
Yeah, and it's something that Doug and I have worked very hard on. It's like, let's go outside of the Indy 500. You could make the argument that every other race there was a fair and a race broke out. So let's hit the reset button and let's make this a destination where people want to come and hang out. And what do they want to see? And, you know, when you bring somebody like Florida Georgia Line, who's going to rock it tonight, you know that you're shooting fish in a barrel. So with Florida Georgia Line, Dan and Shay, and by the way, getting Brian and Tyler with FGL to really understand and want to do the festival, I thought it was going to be a real long and drawn out situation. They're like, you want to create a festival for us at Indianapolis Motor Speedway? We're in. And so, you know, they've made a multi-year commitment. They'll be back next year when we do our July 4th weekend. And so all of these things are building blocks. You have to look at what's the goal. And when you're in our side of the business, it's very rare when you have a first-year festival that is a huge success. So the fact that we got rained out last year was really unfortunate, but it also built up the demand for Florida Georgia Line because the FGL fans here in the Indy area haven't had a chance to see them. They're 2 years out, so we're going to have a huge crowd, over 20,000 people tonight.
It's going to be, well, Ezok shooting fish in a barrel. Once you get to a certain level and you know that these are verified, like, popular things that are going to, I think, resonate with a lot of people. You said building blocks, and, you know, other than, you know, I guess the halftime show at the Super Bowl, you can say that's sort of like music and a sport or whatever, but uniquely, I think music and racing go great together. It's greater than the sum of the parts.
And if you think about how most of us still discover music, it's in your car. It's on the radio. Whatever you're doing, whether you're listening to terrestrial radio or Sirius XM or your playlisting, etc., that's still some of the prime listening hours in your day, every day. And so there's still just kind of that DNA connection to begin with. But also, too, it is about entertainment. And these days, to get fans to come out to do anything, you have to do something really extraordinary, really entertaining. And one of the things that Doug and I talk about a lot, and that we all talk about, as, you know, the world changes and as people are looking at how they use entertainment, whether it's on their phone, etc., you know, how do you get them to engage? And also, too, when we ask for the order, we better be ready for them. So when we've been saying all year, this is going to be great, believe me, we've worked so hard to
make the power of positive thinking, yes, right?
We've put so much emphasis on making sure this is a great weekend for the fans.
Think about this. As someone who's had the highest successes in the music business, been a mentor for so many, identified talent and all of those kind of things, I know a handful of years ago that I think the Rolling Stones played here. Yeah. I would love to see, as a person who's grown up loving Indianapolis and covering it as long as I've been covering, you know, anything in motorsports, I would love to see, like, this venue to bring people from other places to a place like this, because it's breathtaking, really. And is that a thought maybe down the road? Maybe have more events, even if the racing isn't there, right? The Speedway is.
Yeah, you know, we've got to be very specific. And, you know, the 500, again, it's its own wonderful animal. But everything outside of that, we can't take any chances. So we have to protect the festival. So we look at what time of the year could we do another big event. And, you know, the Rolling Stones is probably a once in a lifetime. But what other thing, once we really get embedded with the July 4th weekend, well, now all of a sudden we have the whole fall to look at. You know, we've very much protected this time of year for the Big Machine Vodka 400 and FGL Fest. But now that NASCAR is moving us to the July 4th weekend, we can really start to look at, hey, what can we do next fall? Because we've created an expectation that, you know, that Labor Day week, we're going to do something at the Speedway. So that's a huge opportunity.
When you think about the Speedway, you think about some of the things that go on here. You think about opportunities to highlight products. We wanted to mention the vodka side of things. Like, I cover a lot of the food stuff for WGN. I've with Restaurant Radio America on 65 stations around the country. I've interviewed every single food personality, and that it's exciting to see this, you know. So you want to say your passions and your loves, and so great spirits and expressions in there. Let's talk. I mean, there's some front and center in the interview with us.
Yeah, and a lot of times we talk about, well, why is Big Machine involved in racing? And a lot of it to do with Big Machine Records. I'm not going to sell or stream or consume more music necessarily because we're a race sponsor. So we've worked the last several years like, okay, how can we take this beyond what could arguably be a vanity investment and turn it into something where there's a return on our investment? And I've wanted to do a vodka and a whiskey since our Crown Royal days, and that's where it started. So the idea for us to have a Big Machine spirit started right here at IMS when we were working with Crown and Diageo. I first took the idea to do a Big Machine whiskey to them several years ago, and it never got off the ground. And then this opportunity to acquire 10 South Distilleries outside of Nashville 3 years ago, it's like, you know what? You put that energy out there, here's how it's come back to us. And now we have full control of all of our spirits and all of our branding. And we have something that's a great product that lives up to the expectation of what we feel we've created with Big Machine. And Indianapolis is blowing up for us. Chicago's blowing up. We have Atlanta. Of course, Nashville is huge. So we're building it, again, one block at a time. But now I have something that all of our profits from Big Machine Vodka are going to go right back into racing.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Okay, because that's one of the things in racing. The economic engine is kind of the tough thing, the tough code to crack, yeah, right, for all of that stuff. When it comes to, like, our show, we cover transformative travel, road trips, racing. We cover some of the food side, too. Cars, right? Automobile enthusiasm. And there's a love affair with the automobile in America, too, and, of course, with you as well. So let's talk about some of the cars that you have. People want to know this. You know, you're not defined just by music, right? You got the cars.
Now, growing up in Southern California, I always joke, nothing's changed since high school. Girls, my wife, rock music, all the artists I work with, and cars. So we've just been able to do it at a higher level. And, you know, I have a few pretty important race cars from back in the day. I have Bobby Unser's 1967 All-American Racers Eagle. That is the first Indy car he ever won a race in. And he also won the championship in that car in 1968 at Riverside.
Wow.
Then I have serial number one from 1972, which is an Eagle, which Bobby also drove. It's the first Indy car to do 200 miles an hour. And if you look at that year of 1972, Bobby broke the track record at 11 tracks that year.
Whoa.
It was really a revolutionary car. And so you could look at even the Indy cars today, and you could make the argument that that car, 01, is ground zero for what IndyCar racing is today. Then I also have the Marty Robbins 1981 Buick Regal. Great story. It was Darrell Waltrip's car at Daytona in 1982, owned by Junior Johnson. It's a banjo car. And then they sold it to Marty, and he drove it in his last two cup races before he passed, in Atlanta and Daytona. And the car was in the Roy Acuff Museum in Nashville, and that flooded in 2010. So several years back, I called up the general manager, who's a friend of mine. I said, where's that Marty car? He's like, I have no idea.
What?
I said, it's somewhere. You don't throw away anything. And he calls me 6 months later. I found it. It's in a warehouse in Donelson. Meet me there Sunday. So I go and find the car. long story short, Ray Evernham has restored it, and I'm racing it. We raced it here at Indy a couple weeks ago. We finished second in Group 10 with the Marty Robbins, Darrell Waltrip 1981 Buick Regal.
I wish, you know, so Jeff Hammond is also going to be on the show. I would have loved to have been able to share that story with him. So it's such a unique thing, and it's so exciting, and I think I'm sure that you get that from your fans and from coworkers, and that it's one thing to go out there and do fun stuff. And it's another thing to kind of have it be, I don't want to say on brand, but like on your life, right? It's like your passion and you're living it out. You're living out a lot of people's dreams here. For people who want to follow your adventures on the Vodka side, I'm sure they can get more information. We'll have the links up at WGNradio.com. Social media wise, I know you're pretty prolific there, sharing a lot of the stuff as you go. Where can people go?
You know what? You can find us on Instagram and Twitter and everywhere else. So there's Big Machine Label Group and BigMachineLabelGroup.com. Scott Borchetta, at Scott Borchetta, ScottBorchetta at Instagram. And, you know, we really love what we do. And I think that's what's really fun for me. So we found a way to really help give back to some of the things that I'm really passionate about. And whether it's, you know, the things that we do charitable-wise or with our Music Has Value program, which all the money that we raise there goes to music instruments in schools. You know, we're really in a blessed situation with how everything's worked out the last several years. So, you know, supporting the racing, supporting young musicians, and it's really about, you know, what good can we do?
Getting to do what it is that you love, I think, is a huge, huge blessing. When you can do what you love and have millions of people love what it is that you're doing, I think you're way ahead of the game. So, Scott, thanks so much for everything you're doing. Like I said, we'll have links up at WGNradio.com. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, what's up? This is Leah Pritchett, driver of the Papa John's Top Fuel Dragster for Don Schumacher Racing, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN.
One more ride. Race, we go all out, we don't play.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Skyline Studio High atop Chicago, and some cool events that are happening tomorrow. I'm not sure what you're doing, Ashley, tomorrow. There's a lot of people that are going to go to the Ferrari Fest at Italian Village. It is happening tomorrow. They're upwards of, and I think the weather's going to be okay. I apologize. I haven't really been listening to Bob's forecast, but I'm sure he mentioned that they were probably all right. And so if the weather's not terrible, you're going to see maybe between 60 and 90 Ferraris all in one place. It's going to be great. And I've heard that there's an opportunity that if you're really nice to the drivers, or they'll actually give you, I don't think they'll throw you the keys and say, you know, bring it back in one piece. I think they'll give you a ride around the block or something. I've heard from Joe, the manager over there. He said that. And then, of course, Italian Village, 92 years, and you don't, I don't think that you don't succeed that long in the restaurant business without doing a lot of things right. So they're going to have a great buffet and some food and a bunch of things. And it's all for Lurie Children's Hospital. They raise a bunch of money. And people get to have a good time. You know, you got your plan set for tomorrow?
No, not entirely. We have family bowling in the evening, so maybe I can convince the family to come with me over to the Italian
Village.
Wait a minute.
So I've got a feeling. This is me, you know, you're kind of just, you know, pulling in sort of just, I don't think, signals, some signs, just a feeling, sort of a gut feeling that maybe bowling is coming back because my kids were down in, I got to give a shout out to Spirit Airlines too before I forget. They don't get a lot of shout outs, or maybe as many, I don't want to say as many as they deserve. Maybe they don't get all the shout outs that they don't deserve typically, but they kind of took care of us because the kids were all stuck down in Florida.
And right.
They were in the hurricane situation. They didn't actually, it was sunny the whole time. They didn't actually experience a hurricane, but I think in the air and on the side of caution, pretty much Florida was pretty shut down. You know, so they had the Orlando airport shut down. So their flight got canceled, and it was a flight on Spirit Airlines, and it was pretty smooth, worked with the people. And you had to kind of work with them because I think just the overall demand of things. But they ended up getting them set on another flight, and they didn't necessarily have to do that. They've got a lot of things they could have done, which would have been less great. And they got them set on another flight and got them back. So good on you, Spirit Airline. Way to go. You got to watch out how heavy your bag is, though. So if your bag is 45 pounds or something, it's one price. And if it's 1 pound more, then it's double. It's expensive.
It's a rough. Can't have it all.
Yeah, you can't have it all. But here, so what I'm saying is while they were down there, they actually did a couple times. They bowled. So they went bowling. So our kids are 12 and 11 and 7, and they bowled. And Maxwell actually I was joking when he said, hey, they were at the bowling alley. I could hear all the stuff going on. And I said, did you get all strikes? And he's like, no, not all strikes. I said, I got like three strikes and I got like two spares. That's pretty good for
that
a kid
really
who's never.
It's better than me, and I'm on a bi-weekly league.
So what is it about? You said family bowling.
Yeah.
So this is something that your family forced you into.
When I was in
yard
high
work
school,
or
they
something?
Did. When I was in high school, they did force me to do it. And my brother and I both not dreaded it. It was just more like.
Do you guys have matching shirts,
thing.
Like bowling style shirts?
We do.
With
we
your
got
name
those.
Embroidered?
We no. didn't get our names embroidered. We had
Joke
characters
names?
From
Big
Kingpin.
Lebowski? Oh, okay.
Yeah, my brother has a Big Lebowski one, but. We've made it into an annual thing. We did it once as a trial. We loved it after we were forced to do it, and now it's just a good excuse to all have to hang out.
Yeah, bowling. I got to get out there and bowl. I took it in college as an elective, and I was like, okay, not great. It's tough. It's tough to be great at bowling, but I think it's coming back. More people get out there doing it. It's a great thing to do with your family or your kids, or if you're stranded in a hurricane, get out there and bowl. And, of course, next week, we've got Grand Cachon is coming to Fulton Market. We'll have a bunch of stuff this week as we premiere some of the things that are happening, some of the chefs, and we kind of preview some of the action that's going to happen. I'll be out there judging. Hope to see you there as well. We're going to take a break, right? And then we're going to come back, and we're going to send it to, I think, the White Sox Weekly. So stay tuned on the road with Dane 720.